But verse number 12 is when we're going to be starting tonight in the reading of God's Word. John 14 and 12, you find that verse in Scripture. Say amen. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." I want to read that one more time. Verily, verily, that's truly, truly. That means it's truth. It's God's word. In fact, it's so true that he decided to say it twice. He said, "Listen up here. I say unto you, he that believeth on me," believe, "the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Amen. Let's pray this evening. Heavenly Father, we thank you to God for the opportunity we have to be in your house. Lord, I thank you to God for the way that your Spirit has moved in the services today, Lord. And I thank you for what you're doing in the hearts and the lives of your believers. I pray to God you'll anoint this minister to preach tonight. Lord, I pray to God you'll help me clear my mind, clear my thoughts. Lord, let me to God share what you've laid on my heart. Lord, let it edify our hearts. Let it challenge us to God. Let it speak to us to God. Lord, I pray to God you begin to move in these altars, Lord, and let your Holy Ghost, Lord, begin to continue to speak and move and work and challenge, Lord, and help us to continue to go forward, Lord, in the direction that you desire for us. Lord, I give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated this evening. Begin to find Jesus is talking to the disciples, but not only was he talking to the disciples, he was talking to the future believer, the future church, those that was going to be coming after the first part of the church. And we begin to find that he says, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also." Now, you could just read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you could begin to gather an account of all the works of Christ and what he did. He healed. He preached. He raised people from the dead. He ministered to the lost and the hurting and the alone. He preached repentance to the hypocritical church of his day. I mean, just begin to read through there. And many times I believe that we begin to read through the account of Christ and we understand that he was more than just a man. And the works that he did was because of who he was. And sometimes it would seem that these works are something that are unattainable because we are just mere mortal men. But what I begin to find is that as Christ begins to talk to the disciples, he begins to leave a little nugget with them of what was going to happen when he left. He said, "These works that I do, you're going to do them also." But he didn't just leave it there. He said, "Greater, greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." And what do we begin to find in another portion of Scripture? He said, "I go away so that the Comforter can come and lead and guide you into all truth." What I want to begin to preach about this evening is the next level Christian. The next level Christian. And I'm going to begin to use this word, greater. How many knows what greater is? It's more, bigger, better. But it's not just bigger and better. Greater, he wouldn't say better works. He said greater. There's a difference between better and greater. So I'm going to begin to bounce on that word greater tonight. We begin to find that in today's society, everything is about the next level. If you, how many owns an iPhone? I have an iPhone 8 Plus. It's 2 years old. Did you know that you can still get the iPhone 8 Plus for almost nothing? Because it's outdated. Because the moment that you buy a piece of technology today, it's already outdated the next day. Because society is driven to have the next level. I can't tell you really what the next iPhone X or whichever one they're up to right now. I'm getting close to renewal, and I'll be just glad to have a phone that the speaker actually works on. But I can tell you that the next iPhone is going to have something better and greater than the previous version. And we begin to find the customer service. Everybody is about the next level in customer service. And in fact, we have become so accustomed to customer service that it is, if it is not next level customer service, you know what the handy internet has allowed you to do? You can go leave a review about less than next level customer service. There was once a day in an hour, you're just happy to have service. But now if it isn't just perfect or next level, oh man, I gotta leave a bad review. You want to know why you can leave a bad review? Because somebody took reviews to the next level. Hope you see where I'm going with this tonight. Next level. It's leaving what generally has always worked, but yet going to something that works better. I'm going to bounce back to this phone here because it's sitting here. It's just a good example. How many remembers the Razor flip phone? I remember when the flip phone came out. That was next level. You could flip that thing open and push the buttons. You know, sometimes it's okay to continue using the flip phone. Now, I'm not bashing anybody that has a flip phone. But here's what I'm going to tell you. In what I do, a flip phone is just not going to cut it. I had to take things to the next level. I had to leave something that still worked perfectly fine. But yet I laid a hold of something that worked so much better. The next level. When Christ came, He began to introduce a level of living that had never been possible before. When Christ came to this earth and He began His earthly ministry, He began to introduce some thoughts, He began to introduce some preaching, He began to introduce some ministering that began to take His society by storm. It began to create controversy. It began to make people mad. It began to attract folks who had questions. It began to radicalize the lives of certain individuals because He began to introduce a concept of living to them that was next level. When He began to come and He began to minister and He began to challenge the disciples, He began to preach to over 5,000, we begin to find that the things that He began to present and the concepts that He was given begin to challenge them to live on a level that they never knew had been attainable before. And here's what I want to tell you. Up until Christ, the level that He preached was unattainable. Abraham didn't have what we have today. But we begin to find that he walked perfectly before the Lord. But there was something that Abraham didn't have that we have. And the Bible says that he looked for the promise, but he died without ever receiving it. He said, well, man, Abraham, he was a man full of faith. He was a man full of obedience. He also made a few mistakes. But yet Christ began to come and He began to challenge some thinking that said, Abraham's way was good, but what I have is greater. Greater. I want to jump over to Matthew chapter 5. Brother Lucas doesn't have this. because I was kind of debating on this, but in Matthew chapter 5, we begin to find what we call the Beatitudes. And the attitude you want to be. That's kind of the way we have been. It was taught to us as kids, you know, this is the attitude you want to be. But if you kind of skip on down, and there's just the whole, I'm not going to go through the whole chapter, but I'm just going to bring a few concepts out that Jesus began to teach when he walked this earth. In verse 21 of Matthew 5, it says, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment." Now that's 10 commandments right there. Thou shalt not kill. And everybody, I believe, on the mountainside that day said, amen. That wasn't nothing new. They all knew, thou shalt not kill. And a bunch of them that day felt very justified in the fact that they had never killed anybody. But he didn't stop right there. I mean, Jesus just always has to take it to the next level. "But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire." And all of a sudden, everybody on the mountainside looked at each other. Because all of a sudden, Christ began to teach something that raised the bar on perfection. They began to raise the bar on Christianity. They began to raise the bar on how we exist in this world. He began to take it from what we do externally and begin to apply it to what we think internally. Aren't you glad that people can't read your thoughts? Don't raise your hand, but have you ever looked at somebody and you thought, oh boy, that's just a goob? What we begin to find here is he said, it's not just enough not to kill that person. I've got to take it a step further and say, if you're holding enmity in your heart against that person without a cause, you're just as guilty as if you pulled the trigger. How many's ever said, boy, I just want to kill that person? Oh yeah, I've said it. Generally the way I say it is, I could just choke them. That's the way I say it. It's probably because that's the way I've heard it. I don't know. But we begin to find that the next Christ began to introduce some thinking, begin to introduce some teachings that begin to challenge some folks to the realization that what you've always had isn't what you always have to settle for. We begin to find, he goes on, he didn't just stop right there. He says, "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." Well, we covered all that this morning. Forgiveness. And he goes on down here. I'm on my phone because I didn't write this down, so thank God for the next level of technology. Somebody say amen. We find in verse 40, I always found this one kind of humorous. "And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also." If somebody does you wrong, go ahead and give them everything you've got. Woo! I'm talking about the next level Christian. "Whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him too." God, I've done what you asked. Christ says, go the extra mile. You ever wondered where that term "go the extra mile" comes from? It comes from right here. There's also another saying that the extra mile is never crowded. What I begin to find though is that Christ began to introduce some things that he began to challenge the church to go to the next level.
He began to challenge the church and begin to let them know that it was possible to live above where you continue to live at. He began to challenge the church and let them know that what you have right here is great, it's good, but there's something greater. The whole purpose of the church, the whole purpose of the believer, the whole purpose of the Christian is to do greater works than he did. Open this back up here. Go 2 miles. You've heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Everybody said, amen. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Brother Larry, you said you prayed for the brother. I don't know if he was a brother, but you prayed for the gentleman that despitefully used you this morning. That's some next level living, church. That excites me. And then he goes on in verse 48. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Greater works than these shall he do. I'm not finished preaching. I'm just getting started. I'm just warming up. Setting a platform here. But this platform is that Christ began to challenge the thinking of his day. And not only did he challenge the thinking of his day, he continues to challenge the thinking of us in this day, in this hour. And the call was for man to step up, to step past, to go farther, and to understand that there is another level. My brother Lucas was talking in Sunday school this morning about working for wages. And I fully agree that sometimes you work for less than what you're worth. But I also understand that sometimes when you work at a position for so long, there's only so much room for a pay raise. And you hit what they call the ceiling. You're topped out. Your skill level is there. Your integrity's there. Your faithfulness is there. But there's a point in time where you reach the plateau of what a company can pay you. So you're faced with a choice. You either continue at the ceiling or you step positions. That's the whole thing in business, is they want individuals to climb all the way up to their ceiling, and then they want to take their experience and put it in a new position. Because that new position gives you a new ceiling and another place to go. What I'm beginning to feel and understand of what God's been doing in Calvary Lighthouse Church and all the messages that Brother Noah was preaching throughout revival, they were challenging messages. There were messages that pushed us. There were messages that challenged us. They were messages that convicted us. Because we're going on 9 weeks of revival services on Sunday morning. And I'm thankful that people are moving. I'm thankful that people are responding. But what I'm beginning to understand in my personal life is that, hey, I'm coming to expect the power of God to show up on Sunday morning. But what about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday? Sometimes it seems that I have hit the ceiling where I'm at. And God has been challenging me that there's another level to go. Don't be content with where you're at. Don't be content with sitting and soaking up God's blessings, because there's something greater to do in his kingdom. I begin to find in Acts 4 and 29 that the church began to pray. Now here's what I want to give you a little back story on this. It's in Acts chapter 2, the church climbed another level. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. And everything that Christ had been teaching them about the Beatitudes, it all became real. They understood it, and they began to finally understand who the Comforter was. And I begin to find, though, that as they begin to practice their newfound level, they fell under persecution. And when they fell under persecution, they begin to understand that in order to continue in this new level, they were going to have to find another level in prayer. In Acts 4:29 says this, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." So what I begin to find is, you would say, well, the book of Acts, church, surely after Acts chapter 2, and the Holy Ghost being poured out and moving like a mighty rushing wind and cloving tongues of fire setting on their head, you would think that one dose of a service like that, they ought to be on fire for years. But what I begin to find is that they begin to understand that the struggle was real. The threatenings were real. People weren't excited about what was going on. It was real. Peter began to understand the ministering was real. It pulled things out of you. You got tired. You got weary. And he began to understand that there had to be another level of prayer that they began to find. And I know that the church prayed time and time again after the book of Acts chapter 2 outpouring. But this time, something was different. We begin to find that this time when they prayed, that the place was shaken. Why was the place shaken? Because what they were praying for was what they experienced on the day of Pentecost. Now here's what I'm going to tell you that I personally believe. I don't believe the Holy Ghost will ever be poured out identically as it was on the day of Pentecost. But what I do believe is that God allows the church to see the Holy Ghost move in a manifestation that is visible. And I believe that as they begin to pray, that this time they understood they had to reach another level. And when they reached that level, the Holy Ghost came by and he shook the place where they were assembled. Not only did they just be filled with the Holy Ghost and speak with tongues, everybody that was in the room, there was a visible shaking of the place where they were at as the Holy Ghost began to swing by and begin to congratulate the church on understanding that there are some greater things to do than what you've been doing, and begin to congratulate them on understanding that there were still some people that needed to be healed. There were still some messages that needed to be preached. There were still some things that needed to be done. You need to press through and elevate to the next level in your prayer life. So we begin to find as you jump chapters to chapter 5 and 15, you begin to see the evidences of finding the next level of prayer. We begin to find, let's just back up before we jump on. Acts chapter 4 comes on the heels of Peter raising the lame man. And he said, "Such as I have, give I to thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." And we find that the lame man went walking and leaping and praising God into the house of God. And it was such a rare occasion and something so unorthodox. It was something just so new, so radical, and so wild that somebody would have been shouting in the house of God. How dare somebody shout in the house of God? Because God did something for him. That's what began to happen in the house of God that morning. And that's when Peter and John got in trouble for it. But Peter and John began to understand and realize that such as they had, they gave. But they needed more to give. And so they found the next level of prayer. But then we begin to find in Acts chapter 5 and 15, "In so much that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them." There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and with them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. The next level of prayer brings out the next level of healing. If there had been no prayer in the shaking of the place where they were assembled together, and their prayer for more boldness, there would not have been more healing. Healing is a gift that God has given to the church, not to be a ministry in and of itself, but to be a ministry that grants boldness to the church to lift Christ up. But what we begin to find is that the church began to grow because they found a new level of healing. Christ told the disciples, "Greater works than these shall ye do." You got to wonder, as Peter, full of the Holy Ghost, walking down the street and his shadow touches somebody and heals them, if his mind didn't go back to John chapter 14 and verse 12 and said, "He that believeth on me, you're going to do these works and greater. 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 Next level." And we begin to find that insomuch that they laid them in the streets, and people came from multitudes out of the cities round about Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. And here's what I want to point out to you. When Christ healed somebody, he touched them, and what did he tell them? "Go and sin no more." The healing that began to happen in the book of Acts began to increase the church, because they didn't do anything different than Jesus did. They were just doing it on a greater scale. They were doing it in a greater capacity. And what I begin to find and what I understand about God's word is that as these unclean spirits and those sick were brought in and they were healed, they began to join themselves to the church, and the church began to grow on a level that it had never seen before. And in fact, it began to grow at such a rate that it began to produce fear in those that were in Jerusalem that understood their grip on the people was slipping. When they begin to find a new or next level of healing. Church, we've been praying here, and I've seen more healings happen in the last 9 weeks than I remember in my childhood. And I'm sure that there was people touched, and I was just young and not really paying attention. Are you boys paying attention over here? But honestly, I've seen more healings in the last 9 weeks in front of this pulpit right here than I ever remember. Because I think that God is stirring the hearts of Calvary Lighthouse Church, that there's another level. There's something greater than what you have. There's something more than what you currently possess. We begin to find in Acts 14 and 19 that we had next level prayer, we had next level healing. It brought about next level witnessing. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, those that didn't like what was going on, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. If there's ever a point in time to quit your ministry, you quit when you're dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up. If there's ever a good reason to quit the ministry, is be dead, resurrected, and just go somewhere else. And he came into the city. Paul got up and went right back to the people that just stoned him and threw him out for dead. As move on here. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Paul began to understand that little part about much tribulation entering into the kingdom of God. But who is stoned to death and resurrected and then goes right back to where those people are and continues to reaffirm the message that he had just preached? I don't know, this got me, church. When do we call it quits on witnessing? When do we say enough's enough? When do we say my feelings got hurt? When do we say somebody cussed at me? When do we say somebody slammed the door in my face? When do we say somebody avoids my phone calls when I try to call them? So I'm done. How many hurts do you have to endure in witnessing to further the gospel to say, I'm done? So many times I feel that we draw the line on witnessing the moment we encounter some resistance. But here what I begin to find is that Paul understood there's another level to be found in furthering the kingdom of God. He began to read back into Matthew chapter 5, and it says, when man smites you on the cheek, you turn him the other. When somebody sues you for your coat, you give him your cloak as well. If man asks you to go 1 mile, you go 2. Paul began to understand that there's a next level to be found in furthering the kingdom of God. There's something that can begin to be inside of us, put within us from the Holy Ghost, that begins to bring up within us a next level Christian. Because here's what I'm going to tell you. The church will never grow if we just say, I'm going to shut the doors. Somebody got mad at me. Somebody slammed the door in my face. Somebody frowned at me at Harps. I don't think I'm going to witness anymore. I'm not going to invite anybody else to church. Here's what I come to tell you. You want the church to grow. You want to see new souls. You want to see new birth. Sometimes you're going to have to climb out and go to the next level of witnessing and understand that if you don't do it, nobody will. Next level Christian. Paul got right back up. He went right back in. And he confirmed the souls of the disciples. And continued to preach the word of God. Where it seemed like he had wore out his welcome. Let me point something out here before I move on. Is if God puts you to a test like that, the true witness of the test is when he raises you back up and sends you back here. And I know I'm preaching it from Paul's side, but I want you to look at those people in Iconium. When they drug Paul out and the disciples stood around him, there was no pulse. He was dead. I believe that they probably stood around and they began to discuss, well, we're going to have to ship him back to Jerusalem. The great Paul, he's finally got it this time. I just can imagine, because I believe that the disciples weren't praying. I think that they were probably just a little floored at the turn of events of what had just happened. And then all of a sudden, Paul begins to stir around on the ground. He sets up. And he said, boys, I just saw things that I'm not allowed to tell you. Dusted his clothes off. He said, where's Barnabas? They said, he's back in town. He said, let's go get Barnabas. We're going to go to the next town and then we'll be back. Next level, church. God is calling us to the next level. Are you tired of being where you're at? Are you tired of experiencing status quo? Are you getting disgruntled with your present place of ministry? Does it seem that your Christian walk is no longer fulfilling you? You know what those are all signs of? It's signs of a time for a position promotion. It's time to begin to elevate to the next level. It's time to begin to find something in Christ that will once again fulfill the call of duty that God places within you. And He's calling you to the next level. Acts 16, 25 says that at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly, there's that word, suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. Next level witnessing begins to lead to next level worshiping. And we begin to find here that Paul and Silas, I know it's a familiar portion, so just humor me. This is my last point, so just humor me. Can you give me, how's Brother North say? Can you give me 5 more minutes to finish up? We find that at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. What happened there is that they begin to find a next level of worship. They begin to find a level of worship that wasn't confined to their present circumstances, wasn't confined to the jailhouse. It wasn't confined to their feet in stocks and their hands in stocks and being chained in the bottom of the jailhouse. Their worship began to elevate to another level. What I begin to find is that when we begin to experience next level prayer, and we begin to experience next level healing, and we experience next level witnessing, there's going to be next level worship. And I'm not saying that this is the order that they go in, because God's going to challenge everybody where you're at and what you need to go to next level in. But what I begin to find here is that even Paul and Silas, the great ministers and missionaries, those that had healed and just cast out the devil, they were even a little upset about their circumstances, maybe a little bit down and really kind of tired and probably hurting a lot. They'd just been beat in front of everybody. You know what's hurt as well, other than their body? Their pride. There's nothing more humiliating than getting whipped in front of everybody, the whole town, for doing something good. I think Paul was wrestling a little bit about next level witnessing in the jailhouse that night, and what next level witnessing had just gained him. But what I begin to find is that somewhere along the way, they begin to next level pray. And when they begin to next level pray, it begin to turn into next level worship. Let me tell you something, church. There's a level of worship that we can begin to gain to, that we can begin to grow to, that we can begin to push off into, that begins to make things happen. When you pray, don't just pray for everything you need. Your prayer time should consist of a healthy amount of just worshiping God for who He is. And did you know that when you begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, you begin to pray for things that you don't know what they are? And that when you begin to combine worship, elevating Him, and you begin to combine prayer in the Holy Ghost, things begin to happen that you don't know nothing about. Sometimes I think something that's missing in the church that we're lacking on is the fact of how worship takes you to another level in your prayer. When you begin to worship God on a new level, you begin to find there's some places to pray that you know not of, but God knows. And you now have put yourself in a position to be used by Him to begin to pray about something that you don't know anything about. But God's saying, I need a prayer warrior down there right now. And you're saying, God, use me. Take me to the next level. And God takes you to the next level and uses you. And you don't even know it. That's the beautiful thing about the kingdom of God. What we begin to find there is that as they praised, we find that the earthquake happened. The prison was shaken. All the doors were open. And everyone's bands were loosed. When you create an atmosphere of worship in the church, you create an atmosphere for people's bands to be loosed. If we could loose someone's bands, we would do it. If we could make somebody give their heart and life to Jesus Christ, we would do it. If we could force somebody to surrender those things that they struggle and wrestle with, we would do it. But you can't. You can't force anybody to do anything. A preacher knows that more than anybody. You can't force anybody to do anything they don't want to. But when you begin to take a bound person and you place them in a place where the Spirit of God has complete liberty, how do you produce an atmosphere where there's liberty? You find the next level of worship. It's not just enough for somebody to come in and sit on a church pew in the house of God. There's a lot of people that go in and they sit on church pews Sunday mornings and Sunday nights, and nothing changes in their life whatsoever. Because the reason is, there's no atmosphere of worship produced. There's no presence of God moving. Why is there no presence of God moving? Because there's no Christians rising to the next level to begin to produce an atmosphere in which the presence of God can begin to move at liberty on whom He will. So that moves me to my last scripture, 2 Samuel 6 and 14. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. He said, well, what does David dancing before the Lord have to do with worship? I'm glad you asked. God gave me this message 3 weeks ago. And He's been pounding it in my heart ever since. That there is a next level to be had. And as God began to lay this on my heart, He began to challenge me about moving past people's expectations of my worship. And moving past my own expectations of my worship. What we begin to find here is that David danced before the Lord with all his might because the ark was coming back. But if you jump over to Psalms, you begin to find that he also penned these words. He said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. Everybody is like, man, yeah, it's Sunday. I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord. It would mean something more to you if you were the first generation of your family to be allowed inside the house of the Lord. Go do your generation count and study, and you begin to find that David was the 13th generation for Rahab. Rahab's family for 12 generations couldn't go into the house of the Lord because she was a harlot. So when David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord, there was a reason behind what he penned. Because it meant something to David for the opportunity to go into the house of the Lord. Because he was the first generation that didn't have to stand outside of the doors of the house of the Lord while everybody else went in, even though his family was living right. So then it began to be even a bigger thing when in David's reign, he got to be the one that began to bring the ark of God, the symbol of God's presence, back home to his people. And so what I begin to find is that the reason that David danced with all his might before the Lord was because he finally got past his expectation of his own worship and began to only focus on what God was doing in his life, and it expressed itself in such a way that he decided he was going to dance before the Lord with all his might, because what was going on meant something to him. What I've found in my personal life is that when something means something more to me, it begins to stir something in my heart to push me to the next level. So this morning, as God began to move, you know how many times I've sat on that bass guitar? I've ran in this church, I think, one time. In the old church, it was a fairly common thing for me to run in the old church. And here's what I'm going to tell you. Old church is a lot easier to run around. This church is big. But 3 Sundays ago, when God laid this on my heart, he was dealing with me about next level worship. And I was saying, God, I worship when I play. Here's a note to you musicians. You only understand it if you play music. But when you minister in music, that is one of the purest forms of worship that you can offer when you get in. And if you play an instrument on this platform, you need to be anointed. Now, I'm not going to say I'm anointed all the time, because I'm not. But when I do get anointed, there's a plane that comes from the anointing. It comes from nowhere else. I said, God, I worship you on the bass. Because me worshiping on the bass, keeping the music going, it helps people worship out here. And it does. But what God was dealing with me was, there's a next level of worship to be had past your expectations of what you feel your worship is. And so this morning, as the Spirit of God began to move, and I saw people responding, and I could just feel it. I don't know how to explain it. Maybe you don't feel the same thing I do, but I feel like a ticking time bomb sometimes. It's just going, and I get to playing Anointed Brother Larry, and I'm just popping the strings on that bass, you know, and I'm just getting with it, and you're getting more excited, and you know that God's moving. And all of a sudden, here comes God. And he's saying, next level worship. And I said, God, it's a good song to be playing a bass on and worshiping. Surely Brother Pepper's going to run. Maybe Brother Robert's going to run. You know, we don't have enough runners in our church. I'm going to tell you that right now. But God was dealing with me this morning. And so finally, the time bomb just went off. Because there comes a point in time where when God deals and deals and deals, you either say yes, or you shut it off and you don't feel nothing. So many times I think we sit in church and we feel the ticking time bomb. I'm just going to call it that tonight, because I know people get emotional in church, and no matter how much you try to clamp it down, it's going to be in you. But so many times we clamp it down. And we shut it off because we say, God, I'm going to worship you just fine how I worship. But as I came off that platform and I began to run around this church, I felt excitement. I felt good. Felt good to be running. Felt good to be knowing that you're doing what God asked you to do. But this morning, running just wasn't good enough. God said, you need to worship like no one's watching. And so as God began to speak that to my heart, this flashed through my mind. And as I saw David dancing into Jerusalem, and he danced like nobody was watching, because the reason he was worshiping was something that was precious to him. Because he knew that Israel was experiencing the next level of dedication that was coming in to Jerusalem. There was something with meaning. There was something that challenged him. There was something that prompted him to rise to the occasion and begin to worship God like he had never worshiped before. And not only was David worshiping God like he had never worshiped before, Israel was finally seeing a king who took worship serious. They were finally seeing a king who understood that it's okay to serve God. It's okay to worship God. It's okay to dance before the Lord. It's okay to get excited about what God's doing in your life. He began to set an example of those around him that, hey, it's okay to take your worship to the next level. So what I begin to find is that David brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet, that his own wife looked out the window. And she said, David, you're being stupid. Behave yourself like a king. You know where that came from? Her daddy. David came in the house. Don't have the scripture, but you can go look it up. I'm finishing up. David came into the house. And she said, you made a fool of yourself, David. And he said, next time, I'm just paraphrasing it, but this is what he said. He said, next time, I'm going to worship on another level. When I got done worshiping over there against that wall, I got done shouting, it felt good. Here's what I want to tell you. It's not about the running. It's not about the dancing. It's about humbling yourself in the eyes of God and what he wants to speak to you about when you arrive at the next level of worship. I know we're Pentecostal and you say, well, you guys just shout all the time. It's not about the shouting. It's about the next level worship. Because what God's going to call you to and what the next level deals with is areas that you're not comfortable in walking in. Because as Christ began to challenge the people of his day, he began to tell them, there's a place to walk that you don't understand, but it's well within your rights to walk there. What I want to encourage the church tonight is Sister Lindsay's coming back to the piano and I'm shutting this thing down. It's been good, church. It's been great. The presence of God has been moving. Revival always comes on the heels of people getting their hearts right. And what I've been experiencing these last 9 weeks and what I'm seeing amongst the hearts and lives of people in this church is people's getting their hearts right. People's getting their lives in line. People's understanding, I need to let some things go that's been holding me down. They've been making some sacrifices. They've been putting some things on the altar. They've been preparing their hearts. But for what? That's what I want to ask you tonight. What have you been preparing your heart for? Is it just enough to go to church on Sunday morning and know that there's going to be the power of God moving? We're going to worship God. There's going to be a message in tongues. There may be two or three messages in tongues. God's going to speak to where I'm at. And we respond. And we worship. And we let God speak to us. We make things right. We begin to get bold in our witnessing. What then? What then? God's been challenging my heart. Because I've been observing all this. I've been participating in this. And it's been something great. But in all of what God's doing, it's created a void within me. Because all of this is for the next level. And if anything, what is revealed to me is that there's a level that I'm not living on. There's a level that I'm not praying on. There's a level that I'm not witnessing on. And there's a level that I'm not worshiping on. Because as I begin to study my Bible, I begin to find that the church, the true church of Jesus Christ, they were operating on a level that I'm not operating on. And if anything, what God's been stirring in my heart is that it's time to switch levels. What I'm seeing, not just in our church, but I'm seeing it in churches all across this nation. I'm seeing it in pastors. I'm seeing it in other preachers. I'm seeing it in holiness churches. I'm seeing it in more liberal churches. I'm seeing a growing unrest with what they've got. It's stirring up a whole bunch of questions. It's stirring up a whole bunch of people questioning some things of ways that it's always been done. But the general whole gist of it is God stirring the church and saying, there's another level. There's a place to be that we're not there yet. And what he's been telling me is that when I climb to the next level, things happen. When I worship on the next level, God begins to teach me some things that I need to know about. And what I found this morning is when I worshiped on the next level, it helped me to pray on another level. Would you stand to your feet tonight, all across this house tonight? Would you be willing to say with me tonight, Brother Jason, I need to step levels. We're not all on the same levels, church. There's different levels that all of us need to work on. And these are just a few levels that I decided to preach on tonight. But on a whole, if you were in service this morning and God didn't speak something to your heart, it's just because you weren't listening. But if God did speak something to your heart, I can guarantee you it had to do with going to the next level. So I want to invite you to an altar prayer tonight. I want you to begin to ask God, God, take me to the next level. There's a place to be found in you that is so far beyond where I'm at now. And God, I want to be there. Amen. Gathers in these altars here tonight. Let's have us a time of prayer. Let's begin to climb to the next level.
Speak to your people, Lord. We want to hear your voice. We want to hear your voice. Where there was dry ground, you will send the rain. You will send the rain. As we see a cloud, for me in the distance. It is a cloud heavy